right, so what's up? What's
Love
up, everybody?
Talk Radio.
This is Coach Renz, and we're going to be talking about a lot of risky getting rich and poor keep getting poor. I know, like I said, there are many, many, many different points of view and things we can discuss in this. I would say hello to everybody. Thank you for being on here. I look forward to having this conversation. We're going to, now, this conversation, like I said, it started out because it started out 2 days ago. First part of this conversation started because I was talking to a young lady. She's 19 years old, and she wants to, good afternoon, everybody. How you doing on Facebook, YouTube, Blog Talk? She wanted to grow a business, build a business, but she had some other things she wanted to get done first, and I gave her some business advice, some money advice. Then yesterday, I was talking to another young man, and we started talking about the fact of building business and whatnot, and she was saying, is that why the rich get richer and poor get poorer? And I told him, I said, well, there's a couple of different processes on why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, hello, everybody. And I broke some things down to him. And so today, I want to break some of those things down with you guys as to why the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer. As always, I want to thank everybody who is a subscriber on my YouTube channel, who follows me on Facebook, and everybody who's on my Patreon account. I appreciate you, all the patrons as well. And every time somebody super chats on YouTube, I appreciate the super chats as well. All of that goes to the alchemy of life, going to the temple of wisdom, I should say, actually. So we're going to break down these three different aspects of this that I want to talk about. And of course, there are many different parts within each aspect of as to why the real reason the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer. But the first aspect of it is I want to break away from and break down, get away from completely, the myth that is surrounded by it. You see, in the conversation I had with the young man yesterday, we were talking about how there's this idea that all rich people keep getting rich because they're stepping on the head of poor people. They're crushing poor people. They're being negative and evil toward poor people all the time. They're cheating poor people. They're doing something that is either illegally or immorally taking money away from poor people. And I told him that has that much truth in it, like that much truth. But for the most part, that's not true. That's a lie. For the most part, that is a scapegoat. That is a rationale that middle class and poor people take and run with to excuse themselves from doing what it really takes. Well, because you don't take my word for it, go look it up. But the majority of people just in America, let's look at America, the majority of people in America who are rich right now did not start out rich. They didn't start out rich. And most of them didn't become rich by stepping on poor people. You believe in that myth, then you're just giving yourself an excuse to not do the work. And I do want to say this before I really get started. I look at some people's videos, some people's following. I was thinking about this yesterday as well. There are people who have these large followings when it comes to finances, large followings when it comes to spirituality, large followings when it comes to relationships. And I went and I looked at a lot of their information. And their stuff is so fluffy. It is so fluffy. They don't give you the real. Because I was wondering, like, okay, I put out videos, I put all this information. Why does my stuff feel kind of like in my opinion low? And it's because I don't put out fake BS. Here's the thing. Everything we're about to talk about, this is the real. And if your mindset is so closed in and so negative towards what we're about to talk about, then maybe you've got to reevaluate, is becoming wealthy at whatever level you decide wealthy is it really in you? Is it really something you want, something you truly desire? Or is it the thing that you say that you know you should say or you should think or you wish and you hope for? Because anything that is real takes a butt ton of work to get done. And when I see some of these people with this fluffy stuff, and I'm going to talk about this later, when I see the Facebook ads, you know, use this simple 90-minute trick and get 292 points added to your credit score. People just like flood to that, because that's that. Oh, I can get it real easy without doing any work kind of thing. All right, you got to do work. You got to be patient. You got to be willing to get down and dirty and then break your stuff down and take the time that it takes to do it. I know people don't get involved in some of my coaching because when I have that first conversation with them, I tell them it's going to take you 90, 120, 6 months, a year to fix your credit. Depends on where it is, what the credit is, and what we're trying to do with it, and what your goals are. This is not something to do it easy, quick. And I got to get your mind right on how to manage the money and how finances really work. So this ain't something you just do real easy, quick. You built up 30, 40 years of habits. You got to break all those habits. You think you're going to break that in like 90 days, 60 days? But people are so quick to run to the fluffy BS. So there's no fluffy BS in this video. There's no fluffy BS in this conversation. This stuff is like straight up, and behind everything that we talk about, there's a butt ton of work that you got to do, and there's a mindset that you got to change. And changing your work, changing your mindset takes an ass ton of work. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. But like I said, the majority of rich people who are wealthy today, and whatever standard you are saying is wealthy, did not step on some little poor person, did not steal, cheat, lie their way into becoming wealthy. All right? Now, did they have to give up some things? Did they have to give up family? Did they have to give up time with their family? Did they have to give up time to go play and visit that place? Sure, they had to do some of those things. Did they have to make deals that may have crushed somebody else's business? Shit, that's capitalism. That's capitalism. Just because some people product, this person makes the same product, but this person has better branding than that person, so this person wins and that person business goes out of business. That's just business. That's just the way of life. That's like getting mad because it's three girls and there are two dudes, and two of the girls get married to a guy and the other girl sitting there on the side. That's like her getting mad at them. Hey, you didn't do what was necessary to attract one of them dudes, or maybe they just didn't like you. But, you know, everybody's not going to win. Everybody's not going to win. So to take that and say, Walmart just crushed all these mom and pop businesses, and Walmart is evil for doing that. Woolworth, Sears, Kmart thought Walmart was going to be a flash in the pan, wasn't going to work, and they lost. All these mom and pop companies that sat around and didn't think that people would leave them for better pricing and more stuff, you lost. You know, anybody stuck in the past of how things work, you lose. That's just business. That's just life. And one of the things that keeps the rich richer and the poor poorer is that rich people keep moving forward while poor people stay stagnant, thinking things are supposed to stay how they are. So, but, you know, I can talk all through this thing, but I got my notes. So we're going to stay on notes, right? Because I'm not going to keep you guys forever. Let me pick on my boy Kevin for a second. Kevin, he's talking about, I'm going to do this one-hour video. Just 1 hour live and be like 3 hours late. But we ain't doing that on this one. Tuesday, we'll do that. But on this one, we're going to keep it to like an hour, at hour 20 minutes at most. Yeah, exactly, Shonda. He did like 3 hours. I was like, God, what? And that was without me. I mean, he used to pick on me because he used to say that, oh, my show's turning from 2 hours to 4 hours because of you. Nah, dude, that's in you as well. So let's go. So number one, we have to get rid of these myths. All these myths, it was deep. We have to get rid of all these myths in our head about this is what it takes to become rich. That you got to do something bad. You got to do something evil. You got to step on other people's throat in order to become wealthy. When in truth, you don't have to do any of those. The only thing you got to do is have the willingness to do the work and compete. But so many people don't want to do the work and they don't want to compete. So get rid of the myth that there's all these people are trying to hold you back. All these people are trying to step on you. That you got to be evil. You got to be mean. You got to do all this kind of stuff in order for you to, not do that. So you don't. And I'm going to break down some of the things, two more things that really creates wealth, that helps wealthy people continue to become wealthy, and why poor people don't get this and they still become poor. Now, of course, there are a ton of specifics in here, and we'll use some examples of those specifics as we go. So the first part is what rich people are taught, which creates their condition. What rich people are taught, and it creates their condition. Rich people, you're not just born with this knowledge of how to become wealthy. Even if you're born into a family that is wealthy, if you're not taught, you still will not become wealthy. The Vanderbilt family, at one point, Vanderbilt, he was the richest dude in the world. But 92 years after his death, not one member of the Vanderbilt family was a millionaire, right? And then it wasn't until two more generations later that you had two Vanderbilts become millionaires again. So right now in the Vanderbilt family, there is, unless I haven't looked at the last information in like a year, but currently a year ago, only two members of the Vanderbilt family were millionaires. And this is from the lineage of a dude who was the wealthiest man in the world, right? Now compare that to the Rothschild family, right? Compare that to the Rothschild family. The Rothschild family, Mayor Rothschild, set up a system where each member of his family had to prove that they knew how to earn, that they knew how to build wealth. If you couldn't show that you could build wealth, you were removed from the family bank system, right? You couldn't come into the family. See, they don't go to regular banks. They go to, they have an internal personal family bank system for lending money, borrowing money to build business that's paid back to the family, and that money recycles, right? So that family keeps building their wealth. Rothschild set that system up in the 1800s, right? The Vanderbilts didn't do that. The Millens didn't do that. The Rockefellers didn't do that. You know, many of the wealthy, old wealthy families in America didn't set up a system where the kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, and every generation proved themselves that they have the ability to earn. So their wealth diminishes. Jack Kennedy created wealth, but none of his children, none of his grandchildren have been able to do or make as much of an impact on money as Jack Kennedy originally did. And yeah, he started out as a bootlegger, did some illegal stuff, and then went legitimate, which is why I don't want to say any drug dealers mind mentality, why they don't go legit after a while, but that's stupidity. But it's the environment and it's the teaching. That's the first thing that they learn. Rich people teach their children how to save money, how to save money for investment. You need to be specific about that. They teach them how to save money for investment. They teach them that if you're going to have to, in order to become wealthy, you have to invest your money into something that gives you a return on investment. And if you can't save money in order to invest money, then you will never become wealthy. And that is key. That's one of the things that keeps rich people continuously becoming wealthy. They save to invest. Now, I'm going to go through all of these real quick on the detail, and then I'll break it down so I can talk about everything in concert with each other. So they teach them how to save to get wealthy. They teach them how to make educated risk, right? Educated risk. You don't just put money to someone's business because you're a person. You evaluate the person, how they conduct themselves, how they run their business, how they're functioning. Maybe, and if they're not functioning well in this area, maybe you have the expertise or you have people you can bring in with the expertise to help them to manage their money better, but they make an educated risk. They don't just throw their money at something that they don't think is going to give them a return on investment without having done due diligence. You know, I see people who will invest money into a stock because it's a brand name, but they have no idea what's going on with that company. They don't know if that company might be hemorrhaging. They don't know that that company is not putting money into their R&D and their development. They don't know the evolution of that company. So, but rich people understand that. They're looking at how the company is evolving, what's going down the pipe, where's the trends going, where's the attention of people are going, what's the mode of operations, the country, what's the political environment going on as to whether or not this is a good business to invest in. So they make an educated risk. They do an educated risk. And then rich people, they build systems. They don't build a company that will provide them a job. They build a business system where they can step away from. They can go away for 6 months and the company made more money while they've been gone. They understand how to put people in places with certain responsibilities to make sure that everything continues to flow. When I was in the Marine Corps, we had to write SOPs when you was coming into a new job and you was leaving that job. You had to update the SOP so that the next person knew how to make it function, right? So if you own a company right now, You may own a job for yourself, but you got to build a system. And rich people build systems so that they can keep making money even long after they pass on, right? And then rich people understand the difference between their assets and liabilities. Most people, well, I mean, I'm trying to stay focused on like one category versus go to the next category. Some of these things are going to be these categories. But assets and liabilities, it's a simple understanding. Assets bring in money, liabilities take money out. You have a house right now. If you're making a payment on that house, it's a liability. If that house is not making you any money, it's a liability. It doesn't become an asset until you sell. It doesn't become an asset until you use it as a collateral to get a loan. It's a liability. Your car is a liability. And if that car is making you money, it's a liability. If it's not making you money, it's a liability, right? That's just plain and simple. It's just a liability. If you have children, children are a liability because they're not making you money. If your child is a child actor, child star, child force athlete, inventor, has a great business, that child may be an asset. Right now, that child's a liability, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. You're going to have some liability, but you have to measure your liability. Rich people don't acquire liabilities that takes away from, they don't acquire liabilities that cost them more than what their assets are bringing in, right? You get it? Many of them wait to have children until they're at a point where they know they can afford better school, they can afford the environment that's out there learning, they can afford the nannies, they can afford the things that doesn't take away from them continue growing their assets. I was about to say, we got to get into that. But because I did break it down. Even though people say the middle class doesn't exist, there is a part of the middle class. There is a middle class that does exist. And I want to break it down for you because you're not going to tell me that a person makes $90,000 a year. You cannot convince me a person who makes $100,000 a year is poor. All right. I have seen real poverty in foreign countries. I've seen real poverty in America. There is a distinct difference between somebody making $90,000 and living paycheck to paycheck and somebody who is making $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a year and living paycheck to paycheck. A $90,000 a year person living paycheck to paycheck. Building in a decent environment, they have a nice house, they have a nice car, they have a lot of, and they have all these things, but they got leverage. They can sell off stuff and still maintain their living. They can downgrade their car, downgrade their house, but a true poor person, they don't have room to downgrade just yet. All right? You know, that person who's living in government housing or Section 8 and all that kind of stuff, and they're barely making ends meet, they don't have the leeway of a person who says, but I'll make, you know, $100,000 a year. Maybe this year we just won't be able to take 4 vacations. This year, we won't be able to go up into, we might have to sell our mountain house. This year, you know, we can't get a new car. Oh, we're going to just go and pay cash for 2 cars that don't have any payment on them so that we can save some money. Poor people don't have no lot. So there is a middle class. There is a middle class. But the middle class do not teach their children how to become wealthy because what middle class people teach is different than what poor people teach and different than what rich people teach. Middle class people teach their children and keep them in an environment where basically education is the box that they put their kids in. That they you go to college, you get your education, That box education that they sell you from the government is what you gotta have, must have, gotta get it. I even met a couple who that box was such that their children can only go to the historical black colleges and their children can only marry somebody who went to a historical black college. Like, that box was tight. So I was like, so you need to tell me if your child has the opportunity to go to an Ivy League school, you would deny that to your child because you want them to go to the HBCU. I understand the impact, I understand that, but there is something that rich people teach that I skip, that I want to go back to, that middle class people who are in the box of education don't teach. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. Rich people teach that college is for networking. Your child in the middle class goes to college and becomes a valedictorian. that rich person kid goes to college and they network. Your child winds up getting a good job at the company that that other rich kid's parents taught him how to network on. You get that? You understand that? You understand what I'm saying? So, like, my kids, they understand. I want them to do well in college, but I want them to do better in their network, in their clubs that they're a part of, in the organizations they affiliate themselves with. College is for you to gain networking experience and gain people in your confidence that you don't know. And it's not about that individual person all the time. It's not always about that individual person. It's also about you are networking with this kid in your college, and through 1 degree of separation, 2 degrees of separation, that kid's aunt, cousin, uncle, best friend, godparent owns this company over in Japan. And since you're into gaming or animation, illustration, that gives you an open door to involve yourself in that situation and grow, right? That is what rich people send their kids to college for. Get your education. Learn some stuff, but we teach you the real stuff at home. Okay? So, but middle-class people put their kids in that box. Just get an education, because it's the next thing, which is get a good job. I want you to just get a good job. And when you get that good job, you know, you become management, middle management, maybe even become a VP, but you get that good job, you got that good title. They are the ones who love to say, oh, you know, my child, you know, he's the director over all logistics supplies of such and such a company. My child is Dr. such and such. My child is, you know, has a nurse ratchet. I mean, not sorry, this nurse whatever. You know, my child is the, you know, president of this company and that company, or they work for, you know, UPS in the corporate, they work corporate UPS, they work corporate Delta, all that kind of stuff. You know, the middle class people love them titles. They love their child to get that good job, that good title. I literally know and have met people whose their children got a title but don't make any money. Like, they got a great title, but they're not making it that much money. So I'm like, okay, they got great. I'm so excited about the title. And like I told you guys in a previous video, the college debt, college student loan debt, will be the that is going to be a major part of the next recession. The reason why we're going to have another recession coming in the next 2-3 years is because college loan debt is about to just wreck stuff and cause everything to fall apart, because these kids are graduating college with $100,000 in loans, and they can't pay the loan because they're not getting the jobs to pay the loan. And college now costs so much money. And when these kids start, they're not able to pay these loans, that will backfire on the colleges themselves. All this growth and development that these kids are having, these kids are going to stop going. They're going to have all this debt. The loan process is going to be all jacked up. And that's a whole other video to break all of it down. But, yeah, that's going to wreak havoc. Now, the other thing that middle class people, they teach their kids how to take low-risk investments. Not educated investments, low-risk investments, 401ks, IRAs, bonds, things like that. Buying stock into companies that your 10 shares of IBM, that's not doing anything. Your 100 shares of Microsoft, that's not going to do anything for you. You know, people who truly invest in the market know you got to be putting in $100,000 into one dang on company shares in order to like have an impact. But you got to do the research for all that. We'll try to answer some questions as we go through. Defense school is still old. The school is to be in debt. And old for my knowledge that you got from college, you can't even use to wake up. Then we'll be a slave to some of these jobs that will pay back some of our loans back, but forgive some in our loans. And after we work for them for about 10 years, that's true. And some of these companies do have that. Oh, come work for us and we'll pay back some of your loans. But then what do? You get into middle management and they fire you. I watched a major company fire. They used it. So they have been promoting people who didn't have a degree. And then they said all of a sudden, oh, if you're in middle management or this level of management, you don't have a degree. You have to get a degree by this time or you're going to be fired. And these are people who've been working for something like 20, 30 years. And a lot of them are like, no, I'm not doing it. And they got fired. And so the company then doesn't have to keep paying them, reduce the amount of their pensions and all that. Or they do those, oh, we're going to do a 15-year early retirement or 20-year early retirement, and then you're getting like nothing. Then you got to go to work at McDonald's, Burger King, you know, something like that. And that's your employer now, because they suffered you into that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. And then they give you a little, they're going to give you a severance pay that may last you like a year, 2 years, something like that. And then you find yourself broke. But one of the things that this low risk retirement is what middle class people teach their kids. Get your 401k. And I told you guys, I know people who they have a, they retire. Oh, I got $300,000, $400,000 in my 401k. Okay. Now they didn't set themselves up how their parents and grandparents did, where you buy a house in your 20s, the house is paid off. You know, by the time you're, you know, 50, 60, the house is paid off, and all you have to pay is the taxes on the house, and you live in that house till you die. No. You're 50, 60 year old with a house note, and now you got this retirement. You're pulling from that 401k. You're pulling so much money from that 401k 17 years later, folks. And now you're 70 years old, 80 years old, but you're going to live like another 10, 20 years. Your 401k is not for you. You're broke. You're going to find yourself out there looking for a job. You know, I told you that. One of the things I saw one time that, that broke me down and hurt me is I saw this. There's a grocery store in Alpharetta, and I was hoping that the old guy was doing the work because he just wanted to keep working. He was working because that's the only way he wanted to feed himself. You know, he can't stand up. He has to sit. You know, he looked like he's probably about 90 years old, and he got to work. He had to work, not choose to work, have to work. Why? Because these low-risk retirement systems are not going to help you. They're not going to keep up with inflation. Every year when inflation goes up, but if your 401k, your package is not beating inflation, you're going to lose. And then if you still have a house note at 60 years old, 70 years old, you're going to lose. Unless you have what rich people do, which they build systems that continuously make them money that keeps up and surpasses inflation, right? And middle class people still don't really understand the difference between assets and liabilities. They think their house is an asset. They think their car is an asset. They think things they purchase is an asset. If it's not making you money, it is not an asset, okay? That's just the golden rule of assets and liabilities. So then what do poor people teach there, all right? Before I go there, middle class people who do have entrepreneurs in their family, those who want to start their own business, they teach their children how to build a business that creates a job for themselves. Go be a doctor and open up your own practice. But if you were to leave, your practice would die. Go become a dentist and open your own practice. But if you were to leave, then your practice would die. Go open up a convenience store. But if you were to leave, then no one's there to rob your convenience store, then my business and you're going to be dying. Go open up a hair salon. Like the young lady I was talking about, she wants to be a makeup. She's certified as a professional makeup artist. She wants to open up a salon. And at first she was just talking about a salon that only does makeup. She just wants to do makeup. I'm like, but if you don't have other people in there that you train, that work for you, if you were to get sick and no money to pay and my rent comes up, what are you going to do? You get pneumonia for like, and you're out of work for like 3 weeks. And you haven't made any money because you haven't paid any clients and you can't pay rent, then you might get shut down unless the landlord is willing to work with you to build back up. But if that happens in your first 6 months, they're probably not going to work with you. So then you lose. You lose. So you got to build a business system. But middle class people teach these kids how to build a job for themselves. They love to, they'll count them up. My child owns such and such a business. But let that child break their leg, get sick, the business goes away. You don't own the business. The business owns you. The business owns you. So for everybody, all you guys who want to get involved in my coaching program, the ones who ran away from me, that's what I told them, that you got to build a business system. I'm not interested in helping you build a job for yourself. Unless that building a job for yourself turns into building a business system. The long-term plan has to be building a business system. Otherwise, I would be bored. But more importantly, I'd be doing you a disservice. So you got to build a business. Yeah, and I'm not bragging, not trying to be braggadocious or anything like that, But right now, I can sit here doing this live, and I'm going to tell you guys something. I've never done this before, but I'm faking y'all out a little bit. Faking y'all out, right? You ready for the fake out? Y'all see the shirt and everything. The brother man got on pajamas. Okay, see pajamas? Still in my pajamas. You know why? But you guys know I own Uncle Ren's Popcorn. They're employees over there. They're operating it. They're running it. They're making popcorn. They're serving the customers. They're keeping it clean. They're doing the branding. They're doing everything else. I can, if I don't go to work today, if I don't go in there today, tomorrow, all next week, all the week after that, it doesn't matter. I'm not scheduled. Just going over there for a moment. Or training and things like that. But literally, I cannot go there and it still makes me money. That's a business system. Now, is it making me millions right now? No. Does it have the potential to do so? Yes. Do I still have work that I need to do that's outside of there in order to help it grow into that realm? Of course. But it used to be where the store owned me, where I couldn't leave it. I had to be there every day. And the only thing I had built was a job for myself, right? So out of some stupid decisions I made, I built a job for myself. That's what middle-class people teach their kids, how to build jobs for themselves, you know? Because middle-class people are stuck on stupid. There's only two classes of people, rich and the poor. Like I said earlier, I'm not in agreement with that because a poor person don't have options. Poor people don't have options. True poor people. Don't have options. And if you buy into the idea that there is no middle class, you're doing yourself a disservice. Because if you are poor, you need to help the child get to the middle class. And then help the child from the middle class get to being rich. All right? So if you're not building a system, middle class people can say, oh, well, we're going to not. Like, I know some middle class families who own beach houses and lake houses, but they are far from being rich. Because if the company dissolves, they have no money. When the company decided that they were going to reduce his pay by $50,000, the company decided that. He had no decision in that. He's middle class. He made $270,000 that year, but they reduced him to $220,000. He didn't have a decision in that. That was a decision they made for him, so he had to get rid of one of the lake houses. I think he got rid of the beach house. He had to get rid of his beach house. Because that's middle class. He ain't rich. He ain't poor because his kids were going to all the private schools and all the events and everything they was in. They had all these cars and all this kind of stuff. Middle class people can make a huge change to maintain a certain level that's still far beyond poor. So don't buy into this thing about there's only two classes, rich and poor. That is far from true. Far from the truth. That's how propaganda gets you to think that all rich people are bad and that, you know, you're in such a suffering state. That whole Wall Street walkouts and all them kind of thing, whatever it's called, the 99 against the 1%, that was like a bunch of fool. You know, I was like, come on, man. Government giving up all that money to help these big old companies, I understood that part. But trying to categorize everybody in the poor, I'm not poor. Let me say right now. Ain't no way. I am not poor. If I was poor, I had to be at work. I ain't poor. But now people can be poor. Mine. Yes. So what do poor people actually teach their children? Poor people teach their children a couple of things that make them stay poor all their life. The first thing that they teach them is that the only way out is through education or sport. The only way out of being poor is education or sport. Now, and I'm talking about box education, going to college. That's the only way out. And that's only if you can get a scholarship. Only if you can get a grant, but that's the only way you can go. You can go education. Oh, and military. Education, military, and sports. That if you're a great sports athlete, you can get out and you can become rich. That you can make it out of the hood. You can make it out of poverty if you're good at a sport, or if you get some education, or if you go to the military, right? And of course, crime. You steal. This is where poor people have that mentality. Some poor people have that mentality that they deserve to steal from you. You don't deserve your car. I'm going to take your car, right? Well, Shonda, you need to stop telling your kids those are the three. The military, education, and sports. And I know you're lying, Shonda. I know you don't tell your kids just that. So we always try to make some jokes. But that's the only way out. Poor people don't really teach their children how to build business. I know some people are going to say, well, how can a poor person teach somebody that? well, you have to go get educated yourself or put your children in a position to learn from somewhere. Sunday, you still have a heart attack. You tell your children that the only way out is military, education, and sports. Next time you come to Atlanta, I'm going to fight you. Just to let you know. All right. But he said, I don't know how to build a business. What Sunday said on Facebook. I mean, YouTube. All right. And you can't teach what you don't know. But you can put your children in a position to learn. My parents understood that I had a huge desire to learn because I should sit at home and read the encyclopedia. So they didn't hinder me from going to the library. I used to live and breathe the library and read all kinds of stuff when I was 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. They didn't hinder me from learning. Now, they didn't have the access to give me people, but my mother, my grandparents have always told me that you can do whatever you want. You can accomplish whatever you want. You can be whatever you desire to be. Help, when you see your child have something different in them, push them. Put them in position to be successful. Let them know that there is more to the world than just what you can teach them, because there are books. If you don't understand how to manage money, read a book on it and then apply it. Listen to my videos about finances and saving your 10-10-10 plans and budgeting and that sort of thing. And then apply it. All right, we're going to get to that part in a minute. All right, poor people also teach their kids that you got to make it and then you spend it. Make it and spend it. As soon as you make it, spend it. As soon as you make it, you got to pay all the bills, and then they worry about bills all the time. They always think that you can't do it, you can't make it out. But you make the money and you spend the money because you got to pay bills, you got to get lights, you got to get food, and all that kind of stuff. And maybe you might have a little bit left over to go have some fun. Right? But they don't teach their children about how to save money. They don't teach their children that, look, I know that we live in this horrible neighborhood, all kinds of stuff, but I'm saving money. I got to save money. Show your kids a little something. Take the next 10 years, save money, get your credit decent, and go buy a house. You know you only need your credit score to be about 580, get and have 3.5% down, and you can buy a house. Every person who claims to be poor can do that. Can do it. It may not be a house that costs $300,000, $400,000. It might be an $80,000 house or $70,000, $60,000. It might be a fixer-upper kind of house. But there is a distinct difference when you take the next 10 years and say that, okay, out of the next 10 years, if I save 10% of what I make, I'm going to have 1 year of pay. Maybe that 1 year pay is $30,000. Maybe that 1 year pay is $20,000. I don't know. But if in 10 years you got $20,000 and you have one good credit card, just one credit card that you is good with, just one, better to have three, but if you got one, and over the next 10 years you save $20,000 and you go to the bank, your credit score is going to be over 5, it's going to be at least 580, you go and you can get you a mortgage. You can get a house. You can buy a house. It might be a fixer-upper or whatever, but you can buy a house. And when there's a difference when a child grows up and watch their parents save for 10 years to buy a dang on house, work on their credit for 10 years to buy a dang on house. That in itself is inspiring to your child that they can accomplish it, because then they have something to learn. It's the third thing that's important to you. And I'm not going to say it until we get there. Because there's two other things that poor people teach their kids. And I'm putting them together. They teach them about lottery and get rich quick schemes. The lottery and get rich quick scheme. Like I said earlier, I talked about how you see all the little ads, oh, do this little 90-second trick and get 200-something points on the credit score. Y'all run to it. If you got a middle-class or poor-person mentality, run to it. I'm sitting on the beach making all this money because I just place ads on it. Or I just do drop shipping. Or I just do this little thing. I'm spending my life. You see this car, you see this house that they rented or that they're just standing in front of, claiming it to be theirs. You run to it. Oh, just come have this. Come to my meeting. You know, because we making money up in here. They ain't making no money. Show me. Anytime somebody tell me they making money, show me your, let me see your bank statement. I need to see your bank statement that shows me the deposit from the company you talking about before you get me to join your little scam. Right? Most of the time I know what it is, and for a few that I have done something for, I told you I did it for a purpose, a short-term purpose. But I got a new thing I'm going to do in 2019. Every person that I see on my Facebook that says, you want to make $200 extra a month, $500 a month, inbox me. Ask me how. All of them jokers are getting deleted. Every last one of them, I'm just, I don't care who you are. My brother, my sister, my mom, my aunt. I don't care who you are. I'm deleting you. I'm deleting you. Plain and simple. Because you are doing more damage to middle class and poor people than any rich person ever could, because you're selling false dreams and false hopes, right? You're selling something that 98% of the people never make money off of, and most of them lose money. So, and I'm talking about all of the little network marketing companies, every last one. I don't care that Avon's been around for 50, 60 years. If you're not selling enough product, you're not buying, you have to buy a certain amount of product every month from Avon to maintain your status. And then if you're not able to turn that stuff and sell it, you're stuck with it. Which is why most of the people I know who drive little pink cars, either their husband or wife still got a job that they take that takes care of the house, or they still got a job. So don't let that stuff fool you. They standing on stage, got three people. Oh, we made $10,000. Three people. While there's 500 people in the audience who still ain't made nowhere near more money than they put in. They still are living, they still don't have an ROI on their investment. Because of this video, I just went and clicked on iMatic 607 in one of my slides and 580 in the other. Okay, 580 and 607, that's okay. That's okay credit, right? Now, the thing is, there's some, depending on what's on your credit, there's certain things you can do to make it better. But if you just gonna mess it up, now, every time somebody works with me, I always tell them straight up, it's like, you can't get into my budgeting program and you can't start understanding how money really works, credit really works, I don't want to work with you, because I don't want to get you up into the 700 credit score and then you go and buy a whole bunch of stuff and mess everything up, and then you come back to me like 8-9 months later and I'm like, man, my credit score back down to 580. Wasting my time. I don't like this stuff. I don't like doors that revolving doors. When I was a personal trainer, I used to tell my clients all the time, my goal is to be fired. I don't want to be your personal trainer forever. I need you to learn how to live healthy. You know, so no. So I'm glad that that's where your story is. It's not, you probably have more to do with building your credit than anything else. I don't know why people watch that. I get nervous below 780. If you have 780, that's great, but you shouldn't get nervous. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Most people don't have 780. 90% of the population does not have 780 or above, right? Now, you need to consolidate those student loans, first of all. If you got one student loan, consolidate into one loan. That'll help you very soon. But I have to look at yourself and know exactly what's going on. A rich person with a 780 credit score will use that credit score to go out and build business, to build a business system that makes them money, right? Because they understand that getting loans is not a bad thing when you're getting a loan to make money. Middle class and poor people view getting a loan as a negative thing, because usually they buy the loan to buy a liability instead of using a loan to buy an asset that will then pay for the liability. A 780 credit score, real estate is one of the best ROI investments you can possibly make. I would take a 780 credit score, go out, get me some high-end credit cards and some personal loans, and go buy as many tax lien properties as I possibly can after they flip in a year or 2 years, depending upon what state you're in. Convert those into Airbnbs or straight hard rentals, depending upon which one it is. Get the HELOC loans to fix them up, and then boom. I just took and used my 780 credit score, and in 2 years, I got 10, 12, 15, 20 houses that are now all making me at least $1,000 to $2,000 a month of that I'm putting in my pocket. I just use my credit score to buy assets, and I know that's to pay for all my liabilities. That's how a rich person thinks. They're not nervous about 580. They celebrate that 580. They like delightful about that 580, but they're using it. So unless you're using that 580 to build business, then your 580, your 780 don't mean nothing other than buying you some liabilities. My debt income ratio is below 20%. What? I get dinged for not spending 50% of my on my one credit card. Yep, You have to be able to spend money. You, if you're not using the card, then yeah, they're gonna ding you for it. If you're not making your money, money is a currency. So if it's not moving, the current is not moving, it's stagnant. And stagnation creates mosquitoes and insects and larvae and all that kind of stuff. So you need to keep moving. Yeah, so you're not using your credit. It has to be, it's a currency. It has to move. It has to move. All right. So, and here's the other thing of the difference between, now this is the macro one. This is number three. So number one was get rid of the myth. Number two was what rich people, what is taught between rich people, middle class people, and poor people. Number three, and it's the last one, is patience. Rich people got patience. Middle class people have a little bit of patience. Poor people have zero patience. This is why poor people are the main ones. Poor people and middle class people are the main ones to join network marketing plans. Rich people join network marketing plans like celebrity rich people and celebrity rich people. They join a network marketing company. They're getting paid to do it, right? Some of them get paid straight up. Others get paid by they join and they put like this huge downline on them. They don't have to do any work towards the downline. They don't have to do any work to get three people, They are just, they talk about it, they take pictures, they do all that kind of stuff, but they never do any work. They're getting paid, but their celebrity that they did work for, they put their company under their celebrity. They were an actor, comedian, singer, whoever, a spokesperson, whatever they did to become a celebrity. They joined the network marketing and the network marketing. That we want to use our celebrity to convince other people that we're valid. That's it. They're using their celebrity to convince other people that their network marketing company is valid. Why? Because they know middle class and poor people, they get starstruck. And they say, oh, this person is in this network marketing company, so it must be good. It must make money. And they run to it. And because they do that, more people join. I ain't gonna lie. I joined a network marketing company that had something to do with health and fitness simply because I wanted a car. I wanted the car stand. Right? My wife at the time was complaining that she didn't have a car, so I thought, okay, I got a way to get you a car. So I went and joined it. I did it for like 6 months and I got the car. Well, actually, I got the car in 2 months. I got her a car and here's the car. And you're good to go. But I used the celebrity people who was involved in it as a way to convince people that, yeah, you should join. Right? I used it. Sure it is. But that's the only reason they join is because of that. Now, so rich people don't join network marketing companies. All right? They don't. I had like a serious argument with a friend of mine who was like, oh, you know, my network marketing company, they don't know how to send it back together. But we're 40 minutes in, so she don't listen to my video that long. So he's like, they wouldn't let him speak at our company, but he wasn't already a member of it. So, I mean, he joined. I was like, woman, Let me explain something to you. The person that she was talking about, I met the person, talked to the person, I've been studying the person's history for like 20 plus years. I'm like, that dude ain't joining. He's never joined. They're paying him to be there, or they're gonna give him a huge downline. And then there's another guy who's going, I'm like, that dude ain't even, he's too much into real estate to join that. So he ain't doing it. And what did it turn out? Exactly what I said. They paid that dude to be there and speak. They paid him to be able to give people a special insight on it. They paid him to be there. And the other guy, they gave him a bunch of huge downline. They didn't have to work for it. His celebrity got him the downline. But then to be able to say, oh, yeah, this guy is part of our group. Right? It's an old tactic. So rich people don't join those. Rich people will create them. A rich person will create one. They'll create one because they know that most people will just join it and never make money. So they'll create one, but most of them don't even create one of those. They stay away from those. Why? Because they know it's not a good return on your investment. Rich people have the patience to know that it takes 10 years to be an overnight success in a business. Think about that. 10 years to be an overnight success in a business. Show of hands, you know, show of heart, thumbs up, whatever. Who's seen the movie The Founder? I love that movie. I've seen it like 4 or 5 times. You know, having this conversation right now makes me want to. You heard that from Gary Vee? Yeah. Sean Daly, you're listening to Gary Vee. That dude is on point. I like Gary Vee. But show of hands and heart, whatever. something, whatever you can do on whichever medium. Who has seen the movie Founder? Because I'm telling you, if you've seen that movie, you saw patience in that movie. The McDonald's brother didn't build McDonald's, right? We know it was Ray Kroc who built McDonald's. But at 50, and he was in his 50s when he first discovered McDonald's. What did he do? It took him decades to build McDonald's into a multi-billion dollar company, or a multi-million dollar company. It took decades, like 20 years to do that. It's not something that happened overnight, right? It's not like they said, oh, McDonald's and put up a thing on Golden Arch, and all of a sudden they just flourished all over. He struggled for years. He had multiple franchisees, They were growing the company, you know, and all, and he was broke. He had most, think about that. You got franchises, you got like 13, 14 franchisees, but you're broke. You got 20, 30 franchisees, but you're still broke. How does that happen? He hadn't built the system yet. The one dude teaching Fred, not Fred, but the other guy coming and showing how that you're a real estate company and all that kind of stuff. And then he starts growing, growing. But even at that growth, he still wasn't rich yet. He still took time. Rich people got patience to know that it takes time to build a business. Middle class and poor people are impatient. They look at their immediate needs. And because of their immediate needs, they have knee-jerk reactions that does not build business, right? There are a few things that, three things I'm working on right now. And those three things I recognize, I'm not looking for them to make millions in the next year, 5 years. I've been running Uncle Ren's Popcorn. You know, it was under another name at first, until I got bored. But I've been running that company since 2012. Do you think I have the expectation that it's supposed to be this multi-million dollar business by now that's 2019? No. There are growing pains. There are things you got to learn. There are things that are going to happen. There was a divorce in there. There was being in a bad location for 3.5 years in there. There was living in the back of my store in there. There was not having a car for 2 years in there. There was a whole lot of stuff like that in there that most people who are poor or middle class are refused to do. They don't have the patience for it. They would have given up. They would have quit. They would have moved on to something else. They would have said, you know, I got a degree in IT. They would have went back and got themselves recertified and got that good job again, you know, in something that you hate, that you can't stand doing. They would have just given up. Rich people got patience. Imagine if Bill Gates had given up. Imagine if what's the Apple dude's, whatever the Apple dude name was. I don't know why his name just fell out of my head. Imagine if he had just given up. Imagine if Ray Kroc had just given up when he went to the bank and the bank wouldn't give him any more lines of credit because, you know, he wasn't making any money with his $13, $14, right? Imagine if all these people just gave up, just Sam Walton just gave up, you know, and didn't stick it through. And go and do the research. And, you know, Sam Walton used to go into other stores and look at how they were doing things that made their store better than Walmart, and then he would go and make that change in Walmart. Imagine if he had given up early. You understand what I'm saying? Rich people don't know. They have patience not to quit. Poor people, middle class people, they quit. They give up. You know, they lose their job. And they give up. And they hope and want to pray and look for the next job. You know, Steve Jobs thinking, I said Jobs, Steve Jobs. Yeah. So, but they give up all the time. They give up too easily. So let's break this down a little bit. How can you go become, because I want to spend the next like 5-10 minutes and then I'm going to cut this off because I got stuff to do. In today's world, totally different than how things used to be back in the day. You got a job right now. Me, I was just having this conversation like 5 minutes before I started this video. You got all these things going on in your life. You got relationships. You got family. We got fun that we want to have. You have a company that you want to build. You have a job that you're doing. How do you make it? How do you become wealthy in all of this? 20 years ago, and Gary Vee said this. He talked about how 20, 30, 40 years ago, you couldn't... If you had a job, once you left the job, you couldn't build your business. You didn't have time to build your business. But in today's world, You can go online. You can be buying stuff from China that you sell on a website. And then you can spend 4 or 5 hours putting out content, responding to commentary, responding to comments, but putting the information out, putting it out to get people to understand the brand of your company and to buy, make purchases from it. You could utilize your home where you live. One of my clients, she has an apothecary in her house, Mr. Mom, an apothecary in her house. She's using her home in order to run her apothecary to sell things online, to sell her teas and health products online, right? And this is my mother.com. She does that when she's not been a nurse, when she's not been a doula, when she's not been a friend, when she's not been a mother, when she's not been a girlfriend. She spends that time, she takes that time, she gives up sleep. You have to be willing to give up something in order to build. So in today's world, you have more opportunities. Shandell, I know he's on here, he drives his truck, right? But there's a business that he could be working on while he's driving his truck, while he's sitting, you know, when you get to those places where you got to sit and you got to wait because you can't deliver your load until that morning, but you got there and it's like 10 o'clock at night, or when you've driven and now you got to stop driving because you can only drive like an hour, whatever it is, the DOT says, and now you're sitting there. Now you can be working on your business. You can save that 10% and then buy your own truck and start your own independent truck company. You can save that 10% and buy a truck that picks up used oil and take it over to a refinery and get paid to turn it in. And you can start that business and have somebody else driving it and have somebody else managing their travel and that sort of thing. We are in a world where the internet provides us the opportunity to be able to do things all day, all night, to give us access to the entire world, right? I'm sorry. You're right. You know what, Shandell? You're right. I am thinking about Michonne. That is what Shandell is, the truck driver. Sorry about that. My bad. Shandell, what do you do? Because I know I knew what you did. So tell me what you do. Shandell. Okay. All right. Okay, I got you in my head, Shandell. Now I know, but I still don't remember what you do. I believe you're a coach. Football coach? Right, you're a teacher. All right. Teacher. I know I saw where teachers, they're looking for people who can teach online in China, teach English to kids in China, but do it online. You can get paid doing that. You do that on your office when you're not teaching and doing family stuff. You can create one of those mathnasium kind of places, a tutoring program where you have a space and people come in there and get tutored and you have a background that can help you understand that and do that better. You create other types of teaching programs. You can, in the evening, you can do homeschool classes and teach kids, all these homeschooling is becoming very much more prominent. You can do homeschooling in class or you can do it online. You can do tutoring online to other kids in your specialty. The internet allows us to do so many different things. We just have to think outside the box. Like I told you, middle-class people have a boxed-in mentality. So there are so many other things we can do outside of the box. We just have to free our minds to be able to do so. But there are tons of other things. I'm sure in the teaching world, there's a popular little sayings or slogans that teachers use that you can make a t-shirt out of and bam, sell that t-shirt. You may almost feel like, you know, you have one thing, you sell like 100 of those. Sell another thing, sell 100 of those. Another thing, sell 130 of those. You know, everything ain't gonna sell 100, 200. Sell 30 of this, 30 of that. The guys who did that, Life is Good, they were just selling different t-shirts at first. They finally had enough money that they could have an apartment. And when they had the apartment, one of the guys drew the little Jake character on the wall and said, "Life is good," because they weren't living in their van anymore. And because they were, and that little Life is Good on that wall turned into the whole brand, Life is Good. So you never know what business is going to win and what is going to cause you to just take off and explode, right? You never, ever know. So what I'm saying, people, before I end this, is that you have the opportunity to become wealthy to whatever level you desire, right? You have that ability. So, And that's right. I knew he was a football coach because we talked about that for Fox One and then not having a football program, but that's what I remember now. So even him being a football coach, to open up a facility that specializes in training kids in those sports, in football, they're just different things that you can do. Hell, you can become, as a teacher and a football coach, you can open up a sports agency, you can do things like that, help kids, you can work, where you help kids migrate from high school sports to college sports and mental triathlon that they got to go through to get there, and then from college sports to professional sports and what they have to go through as a teacher. I don't know what kind of teacher you are, but there are different things. You just have to think outside the box, and the internet allows that, because whatever you do, there's an audience out there for you. Whatever you do, there's an audience for you. Whatever you do, there's people who want to buy it. You know, if you know, this plant is like full blown almost. You know, there are people who would rather pay for the full blown plant than to grow it instead. But you can have a turn your house into a contained greenhouse and sell plants to people. You know, there's so many different things you can do based on what you like doing, love doing, or that you're just good at. You know. Oftentimes, I've done things that I'm just good at. I don't even like it or love it. I'm just good at it. Right? Math teacher. I've also written blogs and a blog site. Okay, written a blog. So there are ways to make money. Everybody can make money. Everybody can add $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to their bottom line every year by doing simple things that is already right in front of them. But if you have the patience to develop those things, the patience to grow them, patience to make sure that you got the coaching and wisdom behind you, then you start acting like rich people. I didn't put that one in there with rich people. Rich people get coached. Rich people know how to seek out people that they can get information from, that they can learn from. And here's a big part of it. Rich people pay for it. Poor people, middle class people are always looking for the free. They're always looking for the free. Anytime somebody tells me something like, you know, can you just mentor me for free or coach me for free or something like that free? I already know you got a poor person in person. I don't have time for that. And maybe when I was in my late 20s and 30s, I would have time for that. But in my 47, I don't have time for that. I really don't. You know, I've been working on some things for like the last 7-8 years. I don't have time for that. Because I'm looking at, I'm 13 years from now, I expect to be at the baseline of what my satisfactory financial level is. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's a minimum financial level that I want to be at, you know, and when I'm 60. And I expect to be there when I'm 60. And that's the baseline. The expectation is much higher, but there's a baseline. So, poor people look for the free. They always want people to do well. Poor people say stuff like, all these black athletes and entertainers need to come and just buy the neighborhoods and help them buy and all the houses and neighborhoods and actually they need to come back and help them do this. Come back and help them do that. Rich people help people who are already helping themselves. Every financially wealthy person who has ever helped me first saw that I was out there helping myself first. You understand that? You understand? I want you to make sure you understand that. Get that. As they say, get that down in your spirit. Every financially astute or wealthy person who has helped me first saw that I was out there helping myself first. That I wasn't sitting back saying, oh, you know what, it'd be great if I own it. You know, no one day I own it. You know, I got my certification. And I want to own it. You know. No, let me tell you what they saw. They saw me leave the IT industry, get my certification, go and start training inside of a gym for a year, then to start my own training company, going house to house training people in their home, went from making $30,000 a year as a personal trainer up to making $120,000 a year as a personal trainer, saw me having boot camp over here, saw me having boot camps over there, saw me having group training in this neighborhood, group training in that neighborhood, saw me hustling, from 5 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night, grinding. Then, when I start talking about a studio or a gym, go through a year and a half process of writing a business plan from scratch, no software thing. Microsoft, sorry, Excel spreadsheet and PowerPoint presentation. Straight up, year and a half, seeing me write the thing, write the thing, write the thing, correction, 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 study, 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 write, study, write, study, study, study. Go and shop it, shop it, shop it, talk to other people, game them, spend time at the SBA going through their SBA program. Saw me going through all that before they said, I'll report you in the money. I'll lend you my credit. I'll lend you $30,000 so that I'll lend you $30,000 plus my credit so you can go get $150,000 loan. Right? Watch me go through all of that first before I did that. Before they stepped up and said, I got you. I'll help you. I'll help you before it's out of center company. You understand? So poor people look for somebody to just come in and save their butt. Oh, just come in, just buy up the house and give me the house and give me this money and give me that money. Right? So but poor people don't think so. And even now as I build my company, I know there's people watching me. I know there's a few people that I know of who are watching how I build on the platform. And I know that once it hits a certain level, they're gonna come into the door and they're gonna say, hey, you know what? See what you've been doing for the last 6, 7, 9, 10 years, and I think now you're prime for that national explosion. So what we've come up with is we got this, we wanna put in, you know, X millions of dollars in order to do this national thing. And guess what? I'll be ready for that. You gotta be ready for that. You gotta build a system that's ready for that. Because that's how rich people do it. They see something that's ready to explode and they can get in. And so don't be afraid of other people's money. OPM, other people's money is a wonderful thing. You think the boys at Uber are worried about the fact they got other people's money? That the guys at Lyft worried they got other people's money? Think Facebook is worried they came in and they had to get like all this money from other people's money? No, man, other people's money is the way to go. You want other rich people to be involved in your company because they already know how to make money. They already know how to make millions. So they can take what you by yourself might make a couple of millions. You get the right rich person, now you make 100 million. Would you rather have 100% of a million, or would you rather have 10% of 100 million? I think the 10% of 100 million because that's 10 million. I'm just saying. I take 10 million over a million any day of the week. I take 50 million over 5 million any day of the week. So, just to recap real quick. Stop believing in the myth that rich people are easily trying to do something to hurt everybody and that only you become rich is to do something negative. And that rich people are all old money. Most rich people are new money. Every generation of rich people is new money. And we're getting ready to go through a recession in the next 3-4 years. When we go through that recession, a whole new crop of rich people are going to come up. Because in recessions is when most people become rich. All right. Rich people, middle class people, stop believing that there is no middle class. There is a middle class. All right, there is a separation. Just because the 99% world movement told you that, and because economists are saying that now on TV and all that, that's BS. There is a middle class because middle class have leeway to be able to change their status situation without becoming outright destitute poor. There's a reason there's a poverty line, right? The average income in America is $54,000. The poverty line, I think, is right around like $27,000 or something like that. There is a middle class line. Person who makes $120,000 a year is not poor, all right? I don't care how you slice that, they're not poor. Most of my IT friends who are making $120,000, $200,000, they're not poor, right? They are middle class. They ain't rich, but they're not poor. So stop believing those stupid myths that's keeping you mentally poor. Then rich people put their children in a condition, put themselves and their children in a condition, and they teach themselves and their children differently than poor, middle class and poor people. They teach them how to save money for investment. They teach them how to do educated investment, not the high risk investment or the investments with low information or low return. They build business systems and they do not build jobs for themselves, nor do they seek out to get a job. They understand how to live below what you make. And they know and they understand assets versus liability. It's not bringing you money in, it's not an asset, it's not an asset, it's a liability. And your assets pay for your liability. They understand trends, they study the market that they're involved in. Poor people people, middle class people, they are just effects. They are effects of the causal factors of rich people. If you want to become wealthy, you gotta have patience. Rich people have patience, poor people don't. Middle class people have a little bit, but they don't have patience. Rich people got tons and tons of patience. So if you want to become wealthy, swipe plug, sign up for Coach Man. Go to Coach Man, full factory store, and we can become wealthy. I mean, we can do it together. You want to fix your credit and all that kind of stuff, we can become wealthy. But for real, if you want to become wealthy, you have to change who you are, how you think, how you live, how you move, the conditioning, the situation of your mind, and how your energy flows. If you're not willing to do that, you're never going to become wealthy. If you buy into all these different things, you're never going to become wealthy. I honestly believe the reason why most of you haven't signed up for the Alchemy Tour of Life is because you know I describe things as it's going to take you time and a hell of a lot of energy and work in order to become wealthy, in order to change your financial condition. And I think that's why y'all are not signing up as quickly. It's simply because of that. I'm going to create it where we can do it online as a webinar. And I want to see how many of you guys sign up for that. The reason why you're not buying the DIY version of the financial alchemy where you do it yourself, you just get the manual, you do it yourself, is because you know, I tell you straight up, it requires you to do a lot of freaking work. A lot of work, right? You got to send out the letters. You got to send the right letters out. You got to go out and get the credit. You got to then use your credit to buy assets in order for you to have to pay for all your liabilities. You got to do freaking work. But you don't want to. You're afraid to do the work, but you keep talking about how you wish and you want. All right? Get out of your own way. Get out of your own way. The money I thought was going to have didn't show up because I didn't read the fine print. Yeah, well, I don't know what situation was going on in that one, but yeah, you got to read that fine print. But we always have money. I did a video about a week ago, and I was pissed, and I was like, this guy told me that he couldn't, you know, get in the $1,000 to start his company. What's the problem? I'm like, what grown ass man can't create $1,000 in 6 months a year? That's a bull. We waste so much money. That's another difference between middle class and poor people. Middle class people got the ability to have more money than poor people. Simply because I'm going to fix my mind issues up. If you smoke cigarettes, you got money. If you drink alcohol, you got money. If you go eat fast food, you got money. If you go to the movies, you got money. If you going shopping for clothes, up, you got money. Because you got enough clothes right now. There are so many little things here and there. You going visiting your friends and hanging out, you going on vacation, you going on trips, you got money. All right? It's no excuse. It's just not a priority to you. It's just not a priority. Because your mindset is, I got to live like now. I got to live like now. You don't have that patience. You don't have the patience to say that. You know what? I want to take this program. It's going to cost I want to do the DIY. It costs $119. This month I can save $50. Next month I can save $50. And then I'll have it after that, you know, $20. You know, all I got to do is not go to the movies, conserve my gas, buy this fast food, whatever you got to do. Or I want to work with, you know, I have a guy that told me want $99 to start, $77 a month. You know, oh man, I can't afford that. Can you make it cheaper? Oh man, I can't afford that. I'll get to it. I'm going to save my money so I can get to it. Still waiting. But you're going to hang out with your friends, you buy Christmas gifts, you got holiday gifts, Valentine's, getting there, coming over to save money for that trip. You know, you're doing all this other stuff. That's not that important to you. Maybe one day things will become important to you enough that you actually start going out there and realizing that you have the patience to build something for the next 5 to 10 years, and then you can have that life that you're trying to have right now, but you can have it much better and much more comfortable because you're not killing yourself trying to get it. You're not killing yourself trying to get it. Somebody just jumped on my Facebook. I want to talk about them real quick. I'm not going to give you their name. I'm going to talk about them real quick. I watched this brother that, yeah, he had some trials and tribulations that occurred in his life, but he had the patience to realize that when he started working for this grocery store chain, that he had the patience to know that 10 years later, he could be the store manager, and that store manager made six figures, was making six figures. And this was when the This was in the 90s, right? He had that patience. You know, we used to talk, he and I used to talk about that patience. That he's like, look, you know, right now I'm working in this department, then I become supervisor, then I become manager, then I become a manager in this department, then I keep growing, and eventually, and be willing to move, move around from store to store, and eventually he gets that store management job, right? Now, then he had some complications in his life and he had to walk away from that job, right? But then I saw him do the same thing in a different company. They still were able to move up. He had that patience to do it. You got to have that kind of patience to do it, right? So I saved a bunch of money in my bank account by not buying any Hanukkah Christmas. You sure will. You can save that money. Now, don't be like middle class people, be like rich people. Invest that money into something that's going to give you a big return. You got to look, but not an impossible return. Not an impossible. Don't put the lottery, gambling, somebody who don't know how to run a business. You got to put your money into things that's going to give you a moderate, you know, you can earn 10 to 20% return on your investment from involving in somebody else's business or a business that you start yourself. Put your money to work for you. If it's just sitting in your bank account collecting like 0.1% interest or 0.05% interest, that's not doing anything for you, all right? So weed is working great. Hey, if you can put that money into, there are growers out there. There's edible companies that are growing in legal states. You can make some money in that market. Acorn, Robinhood, all those kind of things, that's just a trick to fool people. This is what they do. This is they're kind of like the Freedman Band. They take your money, they hold it. While they're holding your money, a dispensary is a good place to park your money. But you got to be mindful, there's a lot to go into. They don't pay all the dispensaries because you got to do research. You know, some places they got too many dispensaries already. But you park those kind of things like the Freedman Band, you put your money into it. They give you this little pump of time to get a little small amount of return on your money, or you just save it. All the while, they're taking everybody's money that's being put into it, and they're loaning that money out to other investors to make even more money. And then, I'm not mad at Cash App. I use Cash App all the time. I love Cash App. But here's the thing about Cash App. Like, right now, my Cash App is like $25. Right? Because I get that, you know, they just let my kids know to borrow money. But, get them money. You don't borrow. But anyway, it's $25 sitting in Cash App. And that $25 is not earning interest, not doing anything. But Cash App get to put that $25 on their books with money that they have access to. Cash App then takes that money and they invest it. So all the money that you got sitting in your Cash App, millions and millions and millions of dollars that's sitting in Cash App, is being reinvested by Cash App and you ain't getting nothing for it. The only thing you're getting for is the access to you got money around people. But if you move from one person Cash App to another person Cash App is safe. And it keeps going, and they keep circulating, they keep investing. I'm not mad at them. I think it's a brilliant plan. You know what I'm mad at? I didn't think of it. I'm mad at the fact that I didn't have the money to invest in it when it first started. I would love to have invested in it. I know people who are investing in these birds that are all over the city. You can invest in putting your own nest of birds in your city, and then people lie and those people think you get your money. You know, you got to be investing your money. Right, so dispensary is good, but you got to make sure you're doing research on them, what I know. But those little acorns and all those, you're not making any money. Anybody can do this. Rich people ain't doesn't know, other than building or supporting in the background, but they're not putting their money in acorns. They're not putting their money in those kind of things. So I go, guys. I got a message a few minutes ago letting you know that was not true. So I appreciate all you guys being here. Hey, Tuesday, show up Tuesday night, 9 o'clock. That is our normal time for our blog post where we're going to be talking to two young men who are, you know, they're not religious and what their experience growing up non-religious in today's era of how teenagers are dealing with. So I look forward to you guys being there with me. I hope you guys join me 9 o'clock on Tuesday. So y'all have a great day. Remember, you got free stuff, free stuff because your greatness is non-negotiable. In all these things.